Psalms 91 and verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowlers and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the reading of Your word. And thank You, Lord, that there is that secret place. There is a place, Lord, that we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. May we learn about this. Lord, I pray, dear God, that it would stir something in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This series on shadows has been exciting for me to look at and study, and I don't know for sure how many messages we'll preach on this, but interesting subject. You know, there's a few subjects that as you preach on as a preacher, you kind of feel like Moses, where maybe before you start, you ought to just kick your shoes off, and we're going to walk some holy ground tonight. I want to thank you, Brother Young, for the song selection. Think about this. Take time to be holy. And I was looking at the words in that second verse. You talk about go along with the message. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret. We're going to talk about that secret place with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him shalt thou be. Thy friends and thy conduct His likeness shall see. And I was struck by that. Take time to be holy. Folks, if you're going to be holy, it's going to take some time. There's got to be time that you spend with a holy God if you're going to understand anything about the challenge of be ye holy, for I am holy. And then it says the world rushes on. And I thought to myself, you know, maybe we're just rushing along beside Him. You know, maybe it could honestly be changed to the Christians rush on. And, you know, spend much time in secret. Think about this with Jesus alone. And then the offertory, thank you, Brother Ian, nearer thy God to thee, nearer to thee. Think about that. You talk about preparing my heart, and I think all of our hearts for the message. I think the music's accomplished that tonight. Folks, I want to talk to you a little bit about what it is to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now think about that. As we're talking about this word shadow, we're going to kind of define it. We're going to kind of talk about it a little bit. You know, I walked out in the parking lot. Didn't God give us a beautiful sunshiny day? And I was going to grab one of the school kids, but every time I'd hear them out there, I'd get busy or get a phone call. And then by the time I got out there, they were off break. But I thought, I ought to get one of the elementary kids and just say, all right, I'm going to walk around the parking lot, and your assignment is to try to stay and abide in my shadow. Now think about that, because if we would have done that, that kid would have had to pay attention to which way he was going or which way I was going. He would have had to alter his course according to where I was headed, not where perhaps he wanted to go. And there is something about the shadow of the Almighty. By the way, if that kid would have come alongside me and done that, he'd have had to stay pretty close to me to stay in my shadow. Isn't this good for us, folks? That's why the Bible starts out saying, he that dwelleth, think about that, in the secret place. Oh, we read the Bible too fast. He that dwelleth. So it's a choice that you're going to have to make. In the secret place. What does that mean? That means, literally, if you looked that up, it's talking about a hiding place, a secret place. He that abideth in the secret place, or the hiding place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You think about this. Preacher, I used to feel close to God, and I just don't feel close to Him anymore. Look right up here. Who do you think moved? Who do you think moved? It's not His job to stay close to us. It's not His job for His shadow to fall us. It's our job for us to follow His shadow. And so how to abide? Let's just kind of answer this question. Preacher, how do you abide under the shadow of the Almighty? By the way, I want you to just really kind of open your heart, okay? Drop your defenses. You know what? I'm not thinking about anybody but Jerry Ross tonight. I'll tell you what, it takes my full concentration and focus just to keep me under the shadow of the Almighty. And I think for some people in there, you're going to listen to this tonight. You're going to say, preacher, I've never found that place, but I'd sure like to. By the way, that's fantastic. You know what? If you get hungry for this and start seeking this, it's going to start you on a journey that's amazing, okay? Others might say, watch this. I visited the shadow of the Almighty, but I can't say I've ever dwelt under the shadow of the Almighty. And I think that's a lot of us. Let me just say this. I think that's a lot of us. And for others, you may say, I'm dwelling, preacher, I feel like right now I'm dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. Look right up here. Isn't that a good place to be? Isn't that a good place to be? But that doesn't mean you're going to be there a month from now. That doesn't mean you're going to be there a year from now. And for others, you know, you may say, preacher, you know what? There was a time in my life where I really felt like I was dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. But I can't say that. Well, listen to me. You know what? The God of heaven still loves you. He still cares about you. He still wants that relationship with you. You know, we get this idea that somehow if we've gotten away from God and we've offended God, that, you know, there's no way. This is the devil's lie. That there's no way to find our way back. That is such a wicked lie of the devil. You know, listen, you know, God has forgiven and has had to forgive me thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times. And I've never gone to Him and Him say, you know what, I've just run out of forgiveness for you. I had a certain amount allotted and you used it up. Well, folks, listen, aren't you glad that His mercy endureth forever? Aren't you? Forever! Forever! And so, you know, wherever you find yourself tonight, let's just go back to the basics. Let's look at this and let's talk about our relationship with the Lord. In order to find yourself and in order to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, you first have to desire to seek out the Most High. To seek out the Most High. The Bible commands us to seek the Lord while He may be found. He puts it in our ball court. He puts it on us to seek Him. And by the way, you know what? Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, this is something I just want to challenge you on. One of the things you'll see in the Bible is that God doesn't mind being the seeker. I talk about the game hide and seek. He doesn't mind being it. He will seek you and seek you and seek you and seek you. And Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And that's understandable when we're unsaved. But once we're a child of God, folks, that's supposed to reverse itself. Now we're the ones that's supposed to seek the presence of the whole of God our Father, and so you must first have that desire in your heart. Listen, folks, this is not a place. We're going to talk about the secret place in a minute, but you're not seeking a place. You're seeking a person. Okay, think about that. Your highest goal should be to get to know God. Let's just stop and think about that. Our highest goal as a Christian should be to get to know God better, to want to spend time with God, to want to get as close to God as you possibly can. And so you must first desire to seek out the Most High. Now, I don't know what else has taken that place. And what is it that you're chasing so hard? What is it that you desire? What person has maybe supplanted that place in your life? But folks, listen to me. Nobody ought to ever supplant that place. Nothing ought to become so important to us that it makes God have to be second, third, fourth, or fifth place of importance in our life. So you must first desire to seek out the Most High. Number two, you must to do so, you must find the secret place. Now think about that. It says this: he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So how do I get under the shadow of the Almighty? It almost sounds like that's just one of the benefits of doing the first part of the verse. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High automatically shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So show me a Christian, they've gotten to the point where they say, you know what, preacher, I just want to get as close to God as I can. I just want to seek out God. I want to seek out His presence. Well, let me say this. You have to be willing to meet Him in a secret place. This is not a group endeavor. This is not, listen to me, there's some things you can do together with your Sunday school class. This is not one of those things. Come on, young people. There's some things you can do with your family. This is a private and personal relationship that has to come from your heart. Okay, listen, kids. Mom and dad can stop everything at the end of the day, gather you around, open a Bible, read some verses, pray together. But you know what? That is not you making a personal decision to seek out the Lord. I think that's great, by the way. But it's not where you need to get to. That's not the ultimate goal here. The process must be done in secret. That word secret means hiding place or private place. And you know, I think that every single one of us need to find that secret place, that private place. You say, preacher, I come from a good family. I can't find 1 minute by myself anytime, anywhere. You know, well, let me tell you something. That secret place can be right in here. Right. By the way, that secret place can be in there sitting on your bed. That secret place could be kneeling beside your bed. That secret place could be underneath a tree in your yard somewhere. Yep. That secret place could be just somewhere where you go and you meet with God and you say, God, I want us to have this sweet communion. I want us to have a personal relationship. God, I want to spend my life abiding under your shadow. You've got to go find Him in that secret place. Folks, listen to me. And by the way, I'm glad teenagers are here. I wish I'd have done a better job in my teenage years of developing this type of relationship with the Lord. It was available to me. But you know what? I wasn't interested in it at that time in life. Seemed like there was always other things I wanted to go do and other people I wanted to hang around and so many things that was distracting my life. And you know, it wasn't, I'm just going to tell you, don't get me wrong, I read my Bible, had my personal devotions as a teenager. I think there was certainly a time in my teenage years where I was drawing closer to the Lord, but I never understood the secret place until I went off to Bible college. And you know, I checked into Bible college and registered, and they assigned me a dorm over at Baptist City. And you know what? In my heart, more and more, God began to, I think, draw me to Himself. He began to want me and ask me to seek Him out. I can remember coming back from work, working a second shift job, and it would be after hours. And, you know, I'm tired. I went to school all day. I worked all afternoon into the late evening. And I get home 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And you know what? Pretty much everybody in the dorm, the lights are out. Pretty much everybody's done. Everybody's in bed. And I park my car. I want you to hear this. And I'm looking at the dorm, and I'm thinking about, I got a soft bed, and I need a shower, and I need rest. But all over here, this direction, it was a little patch of woods and a little pond. And you know what? I could hear the voice of God say, would you come seek me? Would you come spend time with me? And you know what? I just got in the habit before I would go in. Listen, folks, I'm not talking about spending an hours and hours. Listen, that's great. And there's been times I've done that. But I'm talking about just finding that secret place, developing that private, personal relationship with God. It was so awesome. I can't tell you how many times out there in the dark on the other side, backside of a pond. You know, here I am, 18, 19, 20 years of age, just trying to do the right thing and prepare for ministry. And, and serve God, and yet God said, you're not going to be able to do any of those things till you find that secret place. And that was the introduction in my life of what I think Psalms 91 is talking about here. And so you got to decide to spend some secret time with the Lord. Number three, you must choose to dwell there, not just visit. I mentioned that, you know, and I'm going to spend a lot of time here, but you know what? I just wonder how many Christians would rather just schedule a visit with the Lord, a daily visit with Him, and then not really have to dwell in that secret place. You say, preacher, we can't go to a secret place. I'm not talking about being a monk. I'm not talking about, hey, nobody can. But you know what? You can go visit God and then walk away from the Lord. Hey, I'll see you tomorrow. I got stuff to do now. Or you can get into that relationship and carry that out of that experience and dwell in His shadow all day long. It's a good way to live. It's a good place to be. You know, God's smarter than I am. And you know, God knows where I need to go more than I know where I need to go. And there's a wonderful, we're going to talk about this, security and peace and protection that just comes by abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. So are you visiting there or are you dwelling there? You see, we want to have that personal visit with God, but we don't want to then leave God. We want to say the rest of the day, Lord, please, my hand in yours. And wherever you need me to go, whatever you need me to do, whoever you need me to talk to, I'm available. And that's called walking with God. Sometimes, you know, people talk about devotions. I remember at a youth conference, I went to a breakout session, and they were talking about teaching their young people to walk with God. By the way, it was a good session, but it was a session on how to have morning devotions. And you know, I'm not splitting hairs. I didn't leave with a critical spirit. I learned a lot. But I walked out of there thinking, okay, that's not walking with God. That's the opening conversation that you have with a God that you walk with all day long. Are you getting this? Young people, I don't know how to do this. It just seems like some of our teens come through our system and they get it and they develop a personal relationship with God, and that personal relationship becomes stronger through the years, not weaker. And then some kids just go through the motions and do all the things, but it's like God never did become real to them. I mean, if Jesus really became real to you, you wouldn't be able to at 18, 19, 20, just go off into the world, not care anymore. You wouldn't be able to. Not if you had that relationship. And so you must choose to dwell there, not just visit. Number four, you must choose to trust in God completely. And think about what this says. He that dwelt in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and fortress, my God. Notice the proclamation here. In Him will I trust. And so as you leave that secret place, you know what you say? You say, God, I want you to go with me. I want you to be my refuge. I want to be my fortress. You know what? I need you to be my God. I'm going to put my trust in you today. I'm going to abide under your shadow. And so wherever God goes, I go. Whatever dangers that might put me in, I'm going to trust in Him to protect me. I'm going to seek His presence. I'm going to walk in His shadow. My desire is to fulfill His will with me alongside Him as I live out today. And verses 3-8, folks, if you want to take a look at it again, the safest place you can be is under the shadow of the Almighty. Think about what comes to that. And then verse number 3 starts out with, what's the first word in verse 3? Sure. Sounds like there's some confidence there. Right. Yes, he said, you know what? When I find God, when I go to the secret place of the Most High, when I decide I'm going to spend my day under the shadow of Almighty, and by the way, we're going to get down here to the end of the chapter, and trouble's going to come. It doesn't mean you're never going to face trouble, but you're never going to face it alone. Doesn't mean you're not going to have to go through a trial. You're never going to have to go through it alone. Listen, I don't want Christianity come on in the minds of our young people, the hearts of our young people, reduced to a list of do's and don'ts. Right. Listen, you know what? If you do that, it's going to be cumbersome to you. But if you have a relationship, the do's and the don'ts, you know what? They're easy. You know what? Because you love Him and you want to please Him. Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my... And if that love makes the keeping of the commandment part easy. But the keeping of the commandments without the relationship is difficult and cumbersome. And so, you know, think about that. Surely, here's what it says, He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers. Under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth. Well, all of a sudden, you want to stand by Him. When you stand by Christ, you've got to stand by His truth. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Are all of these things real? Yeah, they're real out there. But we don't live in fear of them anymore. You live with this surely, this confidence. Surely He shall deliver thee. And I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust in Him. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. So how do we abide in the shadow of the Almighty? It has to start with a desire. I can't put that in. You pray for this. Ask for this. Lord, give me a desire above anything else in my life to be close to You, to know You, to want to seek out Your presence, to find that secret place. And so you must first desire to seek out the Most High. Then you must find the secret place and you must visit that regularly. But then you must make a choice not to just visit God, but to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, trusting God completely, to declare to God that I'm going to make You my refuge and my fortress. And my trust is going to be in You. And you know what? Then you can kind of just walk around with the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You know what? The safest place you can be is under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, folks, listen to me. You know, fear is a terrible thing when it enters into the heart of a Christian. God has not given us the spirit of fear. And you know, there's quiet confidence when you know I'm in the will of God. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. Now, so that's how we get under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, if you'll notice verse 9 through 13, boy, we're not trying to teach through this psalm in one night. But 9 through 13, because, now think about this, because of your choice to abide there, you secure God's protection. We already talked a little bit about that in 3 through 8, but it continues in verse number 9. Notice the first statement, verse number 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. So we have that common, those phrases, because thou hast made the Lord thy habitation. By the way, He's my refuge, I've declared it. I'm going to make Him my refuge and my fortress. He is the Most High, the Most High in my life. Then you know what? All of a sudden, because thou hast made the Lord thy habitation, look at verse 10, 11, 12, 13. Wow. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh unto thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, wait a minute. People can't, we cannot fail to rightly divide the Bible here. Now, people just want to grab these verses without seeing the qualifications of them. Because thou hast made the Lord thy habitation. In other words, you know what? God is where I'm staying. God is where I'm the habitation. You know what? I didn't just visit there. I'm dwelling there. I've sought out that secret place so I can have this sweet communion. But I haven't walked away from the Lord after that. I'm going to dwell as best as I can with all of my human failings. I'm going to minute by minute dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. And because I've made a choice to do that, then all of a sudden no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. So because I have made God my refuge and habitation, God will not allow evil to befall me. God will give His angels charge over me. I mean, we're just saying these things, but do you realize this stuff like really happens? I mean, that means there's a lot of evil that could come into your life, that could touch your life, that could destroy your life. And God says, no, no, sorry, evil. That one's made the decision to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. No. Uh-uh. Angels, angels, plural, angels. All right, I need 10, 12 of you. You go alongside, go down there and walk beside Jerry Ross today, and you make sure that anything the devil tries to do, you just keep them away from me. Now, folks, listen to me. That's not because you're saved. Now, this is what I'm talking about, the shadow. I hope in the next couple days, I think we got some sun out. Sunny days planned, all right? Take time as you're walking to look down at your shadow. Think about it. If God has a shadow and I'm going to dwell in it, then I got to stay pretty close to Him.
Yes, sir.
I got to go the direction He's going, not the direction I want to go. I got to do the things He wants me to do, not the things I want to do. It's a powerful thing here. But notice, I love this verse, very interesting verse. Verse number 13, thou shalt tread upon. Have you thought about this already? Notice what's listed here. All right, so thou shalt tread upon the lion. I think we all know what a lion is. What's an adder? What's that? Yeah, it's a snake. The young lion and the what? Well, it sounds like some descriptive terms to me. I think I know this guy. I think Bible told me who he is. Be sober, be vigilant. Come on, we're about to have Roaring Lion Sunday. Let's get ready. I had somebody tell me, I can't believe you have a Roaring Lion Sunday. He said, don't you know when you like make a public proclamation that you're going to expose the devil? Don't you know what he's going to do and what attacks he's going to launch? I'm dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. I'm in the shadow of the Almighty. I don't worry about the lion. I don't have to worry about the adder. All right, think about that. Roaring lion walks about seeking whom he may devour. I mean, he's marching around, walking, seeking. Sneaky, sneaky. But that adder, that snake, it blends into the background. It's quiet, it's little, it's silent. Think about that. And then you get the dragon. That's dramatic. I haven't found the fire-breathing dragon in the Bible. I don't know. I don't know where this whole fire-breathing thing happened, but one of these days he's going to be breathing fire, I can tell you that. But think about this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom run from, that's not what it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now, I'm going to show you this several times, but the Bible commands us to resist the devil, not flee from the devil. And you see, that's not a problem as long as, listen, you know what? The devil's not scared of me, but he's scared of who I'm with. You think about this. You think about the confidence. I want to get to this. What is one of the assurances that come with living in the will of God, living in the under the shadow of the Almighty? You don't have to live your life in fear. No matter what God asks you to do, you can march courageously into it. Come on, when we get to heaven, let's talk to young David. Why David? Why when everybody else is cowering, when Goliath walks down and begins to curse God, why is there one young man that squares his shoulder and stands up and says, who do I need to go talk to? Somebody's got to go shut that guy up. What's the difference? Because while he was on Bethlehem, outside of Bethlehem in those hills, folks, listen to me, he wasn't just watching sheep. He was in the secret place. He was dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. And listen, you can't conjure this up. You can't fake it. You can't fabricate it. You know what? If you've been there, all of a sudden, there is this assurance that with my position in Christ and with my choice to live under the shadow of God, I have promises here. And if there's something that is potentially dangerous, or there is, listen, that lion and that adder and that dragon that's out there, listen, I don't have to worry about it because I'm living under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm so close to the Lord. Why would I worry about the devil? I think out of 12 spies, I said seven, 12 spies, seven and five, right? 12, same thing. We got there. 12 spies. You know, why did 10 of them come back and say, there's a bunch of giants over there and we're grasshoppers. Because they were comparing themselves to the giants. Two of them were comparing the giants to who? And when you compare giants to God, they look like grasshoppers. When you compare yourself to giants, you look like a grasshopper. So I'm sitting there thinking, maybe when we get to heaven, we find out that two of those men, two of those leaders of Israel, they knew about the secret place. They weren't fearful. Hey, God told us to do it. Yeah, there's giants there. And yeah, there's walled cities. So what? Have you noticed who I'm standing beside here? Think about that. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent, there it is, beguiled Eve through his subtlety. In Revelation chapter 12, we talk about, it describes the devil as a dragon. Think about this. A great red dragon. Listen, it's all in the Bible here. But wait a minute. Are we supposed to cower in fear? Are we supposed to say, well, we can't attempt great things for God because we're going to attract the devil's attention and oh my goodness sakes, and then he might, wait a minute, where are you dwelling? Bible says this, now notice James 4, it's very amazing how this theme of dwelling close to God coincides with a lack of fear or a courage when it comes to facing the devil. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice verse 8. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So here in the middle of all this, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And we grab that verse and wave it around, but wait a minute. Again, there's qualifications. Right. Why is it some Christians have no problem resisting the devil and seeing victory after victory after victory? And some folks, they run and hide from the devil, walk in fear of the devil. Where are you dwelling? Where are you dwelling? Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. By the way, think about this. It's talking about being submissive to God. I think that's a lot of our problems. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Come on, are we really submitting ourselves to God and his will? Or are we wanting God to submit himself to our will? Submission to God, submission to God's word, drawing nigh to God, seeking him out, finding that secret place, dwelling under the shadow. And then it talks about cleansed. Your hands, ye sinners, purify your heart. Folks, listen to me. If you get under the shadow of God and you seek out that secret place and you get near the holiness of God, you know what's going to be amplified, but going to become very visible in your life? Your shortcomings, your sinfulness. One of the advantages of getting close to God, and I think there's a reason that a lot of folks don't want to find God, don't want to get close to God, because the closer they get to God, the brighter the light on our deficiencies and the more attached we are to the world, the more stubborn we are when it comes to the sin in our life that we know is sin. But we don't want to give up. For if I stay far enough away from God, or I give him a quick visit every morning and I'll just read some little devotional, and I'm not against using devotionals, but that's not walking with God. And to let the word of God really shine bright in our lives. And the closer you get to a holy God, the more unholy you're going to realize. That's why the Bible goes on to say, I'm not sure we really want to live this life. It doesn't fit with the rock and roll church's idea of Christianity. How about this? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. You know, folks, you know, some of that time spent behind that little pond when I'm 18 years of age on the edge of the woods over there, it's not all fun and games. It's not all just standing on the mountain, you know, and coming back with my face shining. Some of it is just me and God doing business. Okay? What about this in your life? What are we going to do about it? Now listen, you'll start taking care of those things or you'll stop your visits. You'll stop them at some point. That's why some people get, I'm trying to help. That's why some people, some of you get started, you hear a message like this, you want to get back in your Bible, you want to get back close to God, and then it lasts for a very short amount of time. What stopped it? What's the real reason that you pulled back? Because you know what? Sometimes, listen, I believe Christians need to do some mourning in this day and age. We need to do some weeping. We need to be afflicted. We need to mourn. Let's turn off the laughter. Let's put the joy aside. Let's take on the burden of heaviness. Let's do what it takes to get right with God, to get clean before God. Okay, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Joy's coming. But I think we want the joy without the tears. And so you want to resist the devil, be submissive to God, draw nigh to God, get clean before God, be humble before God. Be humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. The one thing you'll notice in the Bible is every time a man ended up at the feet of God or at the feet of Jesus, one of the next things that we see is that God or Jesus lifts them up. And the way up is down. The way up isn't up. The way up is down. Humility before the Lord. And so then we get to these closing verses, if you will. Look at verse 14 through 16. Just a handful of, 14 through 7. 16. Notice what it says there in verse number 14. Again, because. Now God's going to start speaking here. And he's going to start talking about that one that has decided he's going to seek him out. Decided that he's going to meet him in that secret place. But not just leave him there, but choose to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then God says some things about that man. He says, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Boy, think about these things. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. See, I told you trouble's coming. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And so as you get under that shadow of the Almighty, there's some decisions that you'll be making. The more time that you spend there, you're going to set your love upon God. And then God will deliver you. Now, isn't that the first and great commandment? When asked by, come on, a lawyer in Matthew 22, verse 35 through 40. When asked, Master, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Whatever's keeping you from that secret place, whatever's keeping you from wanting to meet God and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, is what you love more than you love God. So identify it. Identify it. When you set your love upon God, all of a sudden God stands up and said, I'll deliver you. And then get to know God by name. Notice it said, I love that little phrase there where it says, I will deliver him, in verse 14, the end of it, I will set him on high because he hath known my name. You say, well, I know God's name. Well, listen, have you ever had somebody say, I get this all the time when I'm out and about, or even when I'm in the area here, somebody will assume because I'm a preacher that I know every other preacher. I mean, I don't know what it is about that. You know, I liked being able to, back in the day when you lived in California, and I'd mention, well, I got a son-in-law and a daughter in California, and they'd say, well, do you know so-and-so? Because they live in California, so, you know, because they live in California, you surely know them. You know, about a billion people in California, but hey, you should know them, you know. Listen, I sometimes my answer is, do you know Pastor so-and-so? And I'll say, I know the name, but I don't know him. Come on, there's people like that. Somebody asks you, well, I know their name. You're from Jacksonville, you know this family? Well, I know their name. I've heard their name, but I don't know them. There's a difference between knowing their name and knowing them. Okay? That's what we're working towards. That's what this psalm is all about. You know, I've read a lot of autobiographies and biographies of great Christians. One of my favorite, George Mueller. I love Peter Cartwright's autobiography. I mean, you ought to read these things. And I enjoy them, but I didn't know them, man. And then Vicki Beller sends me a copy of Jim Beller's biography that her and the kids wrote after he passed away. And all of a sudden, I'm reading a biography, but it's not about somebody I didn't know. It's about somebody I knew. And as much as I enjoyed other biographies, listen, when I read that biography, You know what? I didn't just know the name. I knew him. I knew him. Now think about this. You see this book right here? Okay. Do you know the God of this book? Do you know him?
Good.
Have you sought the secret place? Have you been to the secret place? Ever been there? Ever been there? And if you have, has it been a while? Do you visit or do you seek to dwell there? Did you used to at some point, but you know what? You've kind of lost your way a little bit. The devil sits on your shoulder. And listen, if you've confessed your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, cleanse you of all unrighteousness. It's not God reminding you of past sins and failures. It's the devil beating you down with them. Don't let him get by with that. The same God that you had a sweet relationship at one time, he wants to have that sweet relationship with again. You know what he wants? He wants you to get to know him by name. Just not know his name, but know him. Call upon him. That's what it says there. Notice that, verse 15, he shall call upon me. And I will answer him. Who? The person who dwells under the shadow of the Almighty. And by the way, when you're that close, you don't have to scream and holler. You just got to whisper. Because he's right there. Think about that. He said, I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Now, trouble's going to come, son. That's part of life. Okay, challenges are going to come. Even the devil. Attacks are going to come. But you know what? We don't operate in a spirit of fear. But of power and love and a sound mind. And God, as long as you're with me, I don't care where you send me. I don't care where you ask me to go. I'm more than happy to go. You know why? Because I'm dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. In times of trouble, folks, listen to me. Trust him. Trust him. He says, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Well, why don't we see if we can find that place? For some of you, you visited there this morning. You say, preacher, I was at the secret place. Hey, it could be in your recliner. I'm not talking about going to the back side of the woods. It could be in your recliner in the morning with a cup of coffee and an open King James Bible, and you and God are meeting in that secret place. Okay? And so I was there this morning, and I've dwelt there all day. Oh, don't let the devil ever steal that from you. Okay? I've been there. Visited, but I've never dwelt there. I dwelt there, but it's been a while, preacher, to be honest with you. You know what? Let's get back and find that shadow again. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this portion of Scripture. And we hurried through it. Lord, Psalms 91, so rich, so full. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. Help our young people to find that secret place. Help them not to wait till they're in their 20s or they're off by themselves and life gets hard. Help them decide. I pray for our young people. I know some of our children, most of them are out in Bible club. That's fine. But Lord, I think that our children can find this place. They can start young. They can look for that secret place. They can begin to build that personal relationship with God. Lord, thank you that you want us. Thank you for all of the things that you promised that comes with it. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us tonight. Meet with us in a sweet way, we pray. In Jesus' name.